This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Well, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. And we're going to talk about election items, in fact. Second half hour, we'll have the two Chelan and Douglas County auditors. Well, there's one each. Skip Moore and Thad Duvall join us coming up about to 12:30 or so. But we're going to kick things off with Stan Morris, who's running for mayor of Chelan. Let me slide over here just a little bit. Stan, thanks for joining us on the campaign trail for mayor. It's a three-way primary, and thanks for being here today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
And let's not spend a whole lot of time. I think folks in the Chelan area are well-versed in your background. For folks who aren't all that familiar with you, you are a practicing attorney for about four decades now.
Yeah, I was born and raised up in Chelan and admitted to the bar 40 years ago, so I've been doing a civil practice for that time, and it's a comfortable fit with the community.
And a city council member, talk a little bit about some of your other qualifications as well.
Well, I had a city council term. I was elected 12 years ago for a four-year term. And many years ago, right after I graduated from law school, I was the city attorney of Antioch for a little over 3 years, and that was a real pleasure. And I learned a lot about the dynamics of city councils and people and their issues from an early age. I was just 25 when that happened. It was a great experience. And otherwise, I broke my back snow skiing up at Mission Ridge. A lot of people will know that when I was 17 years old in the middle of my senior year of high school, and came down and attended Wenatchee Valley and was the student body vice president there, and then went on to Central with a double major in political science psychology, went to law school in Illinois, and then came back and practiced law in Chelan for about 3.5 years, went over to Seattle, practiced an active practice in King County for over 12 years, and then came back to Chelan and settled in 1996, and I've been there since.
You love it.
I love North Central Washington, and I love Chelan, and I love the community that my family originally came to in the 1890s, and I'm sure we'll touch on some issues that concern me about the city and its where it's gone.
So obviously, I think it's fair to say certainly qualified to run for this position. What prompted you to get into the race for mayor? Is it what's been going on for the last couple of years, the pace of growth, what's going on with traffic? Every time I go up to Chelan, I used to live up there in the early to mid-80s, a single issue, a variety of issues. What prompted you to get into the race this time, Stan?
Well, Dave, what we have seen in Chelan is a lot of very dynamic development over the last 15 years. Kind of broke open with the Daybreak Project, which I got upset about because the city was going to give water to Daybreak that we really didn't have. And we had Gray and Osborne, the engineering firm, tell us we were 3,800 acre feet and 10,000 gallons a minute short, but nobody seemed to think that was important. There are some other things that I call getting back to basics that I think, are just being ignored. We've got some broken concrete and broken sidewalks. We've got low water pressure in our older neighborhoods, but for some reason we're able to spend over the last 15 months $73,000 on lobbying. We're able to put in a roundabout that we had to go to the legislature and ask $300,000 extra for because it has a column under basalt lighted statue and a lighted fountain in front of it, in the middle of it. I was told it was the most expensive roundabout in the state of Washington, which I just find to be wrong. If we want to have a small town feel to Chelan, and that over the years is what everybody that I've spoken to says. It's such a lovely community. It's just kind of retro. It's wonderful. It's calm. It's quiet. But everything that's been pushed, particularly in the last 5 or 10 years, has moved toward, multi-million dollar homes. The Lookout development, the homes out there start at $600,000. And then it's a little comical to me that all of a sudden the city council and the mayor have discovered we have a housing crisis. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're pushing developments, like Holiday Hills and Lake Hills and the Lookout and Crystal View that are, $500,000 and up homes, all of a sudden people in Seattle will look at it and go, wow, well, look at this home here. This is only $250,000. That's a fixer-upper, but wow, I can get into that. So what we've done is we've sold the community as an investment. for people who don't want their money in banks or the stock market. We've commoditized, We've made commodities of our houses. You rarely speak to someone. I did a will signing last night for a client, and the couple from next door came over and they said, oh yeah, we bought 5 years ago, and then we bought another home as an investment that we rent out. And you get a lot of that. You know that 40, as of last December, 47% of the homes in the city of Chelan are owned by people that don't live there.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. So what's your solution to rein that in, or is the horse already out of the barn?
Well, I have some thoughts. I'd like to see a graduated expense for building homes in the valley. So if you want to come in and build a nice little modest 1,000-square-foot two-bed, two-bath home on a nice little lot in an existing neighborhood, and there are plenty of those lots that are around, infill lots, I call them, maybe your hookup fees shouldn't be $17,000. Maybe they should be $5,000 or $3,000. And maybe, you know, if you're willing to put in a low water use, you know, with more rock and more less lawn, maybe your water bill should go down a bit. And on the other hand, if you want to come in and put a $2 million home in, maybe your hookup, with 6 rooms and 7 bathrooms, maybe your hookup fee should be more like $50,000. And if people want to build those homes, fine. And I just always laugh every time I hear, well, we don't want to punish rich people. There's nothing wrong with being rich. And there's nothing wrong with being rich. But you can't have your cake and eat it, too. You can't have affordable housing and let people come in and, you know, put in a house and they're going to have a tourist accommodation zone. Okay, another one, tourist accommodation zones. Everything that's put in seems to be in a tourist accommodation zone these days. Well, those people just turn around and rent the houses out, and they're very expensive homes.
So, reining in the tourism draw, and that's part of the bread and butter of the Lake Chelan area, but kind of how do you balance that versus maintaining agriculture? I mean, when I moved to Chelan in 83, there was, it's an agricultural area as well. Lake Chelan apples, the reason they're the best in the world is because that lake is kind of a moderating factor on how cold and how hot it gets. Are you afraid of that area losing its ag base as well?
Well, I have friends who are orchardists, and they'll tell you that it's very difficult to be an orchardist these days. It's a little easier to be a vineyard, although I think a lot of them do struggle. That's why a lot of them have weddings. You know, if you really just want to be a winemaking venture, why would you have weddings and special events? There is a reality in the Chelan Valley. There's not enough water to build that entire valley out into homes. So at some point in time, we're going to reach a point, a threshold, where we say, okay, there's too much pollution, there's too much runoff coming into the lake. It's beginning. I'll tell you right now, this year, this spring, we found an algae bloom in the river below where the powerhouse is in Chelan Falls. Big, all solid green algae. That comes from somewhere. That comes from pollutants. It's the longer range things, Dave, that I'm concerned about. You know, where do we draw a line? What is too much growth? And we haven't really had that discussion. And how do we structure that growth so that people that want to come in and work in brick and mortar jobs, nurses, firemen, school teachers, how can they afford homes? And maybe it's not homes, maybe it's apartments. So how do we encourage modestly or decently priced housing? I think apartment buildings probably are going to be a big part of that solution, because the reality is $250,000 home in the Chelan Valley is a fixer-upper right now.
Talk about the Butte preservation. I know that the project has been one of the things the mayor is focusing on, concerns that doesn't get all overdeveloped as well. What are your thoughts on priority of the mayor?
Well, Mayor Mike Cooney flew to Utah at taxpayer expense and took out the guy that runs that for the Golden Gate people, took him out for a steak dinner in Salt Lake City to talk to him. Don't know why he couldn't have just picked up the phone to do it. But that whole mountain, to buy it for millions of dollars, I mean, the city currently struggles with parking in the Lakeside Park, where they're experimenting with a shuttle now. They've got problems, you know, just in terms of managing what they have. And now they're going to manage almost 900 acres on the Butte and put up trails and 40 acres worth of affordable housing over by the junkyard. It doesn't make sense to me. Everybody that I speak to says, we don't want to see the Butte developed, and there's an easy way to do that. The council votes to put it on the ballot. 60% of the people vote to de-annex that property. It goes out of the city. The voters have done it. You can't sue the voters for devaluing your property. That's a right that we have statutorily and constitutionally. And then they don't have water. They don't have sewer. They don't have garbage. They don't have fire. They don't have police. The build-out on the original Daybreak project was $100 million for infrastructure. It would go up exponentially if it was not given city, you know, utilities and all of that. That's the good solution for it. Let the voters decide. I think the voters should have decided the one-way bridge project. You know, we should have put that on the ballot. You've got referendum. You've got initiative. There's no reason why the voters shouldn't, and I would love to have that during my administration. On the big things, on the important things, I think we should have the vote, public vote on it. And the counter to that is, oh, well, no, but I mean, you know, they can come and they can talk to the charrettes and the little meetings that we have, and they can put, you know, colored pens on a board, but we all know that that's pretty much just window dressing on, we're going to do what we want to do, and it looks like you had input, but you don't.
So you're opposed to the one-way traffic on the bridge?
I'm opposed to not having done a test run of it first to see how it would fly. It's a huge change to traffic flow in the valley, and I think we should have tried it out. It wouldn't have been that difficult. There were repairs that needed to be made to that bridge. I had a solution with putting some vertical metal poles to keep larger land yachts from going there. It was a fairly decent solution. I proposed it when I was on council, and the response from council was, you mean how many mirrors we'd have to pay for? Well, we spent almost $4 million on a bridge that now a lot of people don't like. I think a few mirrors would have been a better price.
Any other ideas on trying to slow the tide of growth and the pace of growth in Chelan and trying to hang on to that that small town charming feel?
Well, I think one of the things we need to do is to stop worrying about how many people we can bring here in the middle of the summer. This town will always fill up in summer. But we have these giant events and, you know, we get this crush of people and then it shuts down the parks, shuts down the roads. I'd like to see decent tourism in the off-season, fall, winter, and spring. I'd like to see some family-oriented events that aren't oriented toward just drinking as much as you can. I'd like to see some kids' weekends, maybe a s'mores weekend, you know, where the Ruby Theater runs kids' movies all day. That'd be fun. That'd be cool. And there are plenty of people that own houses who will come here given a reason in the fall, winter, and spring. Leavenworth is the perfect example. And just because we're another hour up the road, that does not keep people from coming to Chelan in the winter. And then our local merchants would have revenue. They'd have people coming in. They'd have people spending money. Our restaurants would have clients coming in. We would have a decent, rounded tourist season that would be more supportive of a small-town feel, as opposed to this, let's see what we can cram into a summer season.
We're talking with Stan Morris. He's on the ballot for Chelan mayor August 6th. And, of course, those ballots are just about to come out. In fact, we're going to talk about that further with our guests in the second half hour, the Chelan and Douglas County auditors. All right, it is already 12:28, so our time is slipping by quickly. How do people get in touch to learn more about your views, Stan, on the race for mayor?
Well, I have a website. Of course, I have posted on the election site that the county runs my statement about what I think issues are important. If you just want to learn a little bit about me, stanmorse.com, stanmorse.com. I'm not putting a big election push thing on there. If you want to see what the gist of my ideas are, then take a look on the auditor's website for the election and get out and vote. It's important. Your vote is important, critically important this time around. And like I say to people, if you like what's happened in Chelan, then vote for one of the other two candidates. If you want someone who takes a longer-term look and who wants to listen to your ideas and listen to you and find out what's important, which I've been doing, then I'd appreciate you considering me.
All right. Well, if that's your final word, we'll leave it at that. I was just going to say, if you just tuned in and you missed some of the views and opinions of Stan Morris, there you go. Appreciate the time today. We've had two of the three candidates, one more to go, and since we've kind of focused on what has happened over the last term, we'll have the mayor on coming up next week on the agenda. By the way, you can always catch the segments with all of our guests by going to kpq.com, click on the shows tab, and then the pull down there, you'll see the agenda, and you'll see listed by date, and the guest topic. So our guest again, Stan Morse. He wants your vote coming up in the August 6th primary for Chelan Mayor. Stan, good to meet you. We've met before. It's been a while, but thanks for coming in on the show today.
Yeah, Dave, I've known you for years, and thanks for having me, and I appreciate it much.
You may appreciate the opportunity to visit today. When we come back, Thad Duvall, Douglas County Auditor, Skip Moore, Chelan County Auditor, next.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Alrighty, we are back, and the first question that I have for my next guest, because everyone's a candidate is probably well aware, but for the rest of us, August 6th is around the corner. So for Skip Moore, for Chelan County, Thad Duvall from Douglas County, are the ballots ready to mail? When will we see them showing up for the August 6th primary in our mailbox? Skip or Thad, I would guess it's about the same answer, right?
It's going pretty much, yes. Our ballots will be at the post office next Tuesday.
In Chelan County?
In Chelan County. And voters will start seeing them Wednesday, Thursday, depending on how quickly the post office disperses them locally. But, yeah, they should start seeing them Wednesday and Thursday of next week.
Okay. About the same in Douglas County, Dad?
Yeah, Douglas County's mailing on July 16th, so be about the same.
All right. Do we have the prepaid postage on them? I know that when that initially came out, it was I thought I recalled maybe just going to be a one-time thing. Have we got that in permanent status now, Thad?
Yes, the legislature did pass a law after this last session to permanently fund that prepaid postage, so it will be that way from now on.
Okay. Are they writing the check and reimbursing the counties? Because I know that that's been, that's an expense, that the taxpayers here locally were kind of having to foot the bill, and then we were kind of waiting for the check in the mail. What's been the status of that for Chelan and Douglas County, Dad?
Well, for the whole state, the state is right now, the Secretary of State is creating a bulk mailing permit situation where all the states or the counties can tie into it. So we anticipate when we get this all set up for each county to be able to draw on that account, and so that we won't have to be waiting for a check to reimburse us. I think we'll be able to handle it statewide for all counties.
And then, Skip, you have other expenses, printing envelopes. Have you gotten kind of past that? What's the status with that?
Well, yeah, we've got past that part of it. So we routinely have to go through our envelope stock anyway. It seems like there's always a tweak here or there that's being done. So we've got all the new envelopes prepared, and it's all prepaid postage. And like Thad said, the nice thing is this won't be a case of we have to track and then to contact the state and get a reimbursement. That what will happen is each one of us counties, we have our own permit number on that. So when that runs through the postal system, that permit number will be tied to the Secretary of State's drawdown account for postage, and it'll just happen automatically inside the postal service. So we won't have to worry about it. But all the other mechanics as far as getting the envelopes, the nice thing is we won't have different sets of envelopes for different election cycles. Now, they'll all be prepaid postage. That's in the law. That's what we'll do from now on. It'll be one less variable that in the past we've had to do with supplies and envelopes.
So Tuesday, August 6th is the primary. You'll be looking for your ballots here arriving sometime late next week. You should have them by Friday the 19th, Saturday the 20th. 20th at the outside latest.
Certainly. If come Monday morning you don't have your ballot yet, you need to be contacting one of our offices so that we can figure out why that happened.
So what about online registrations? Let's talk about some new rules in effect for that. Who wants to give us the thumbnail explanation? Thad?
Well, let's back up and talk about same-day registration. So In the state of Washington now, as of July 1st, everyone can register up to and including Election Day to register to vote. And that is a big change in the state. And so there is one caveat to that you can register up until in person up to Election Day in our offices. 8 days prior to that, you can register by any other means, which includes online registration, in-person registration, or registering by mail, or at Motor Voter through Department of Licensing. There are a number of ways you can register, but that cutoff will be 8 days prior to the election. From 8 days on into election, you can still register, but you must come in person to the auditor's office.
So you could do it online, essentially, through Monday, the 29th of July,
right,
for the August 6th primary.
Correct.
That's that 8 days you're talking about. After the 29th, you're going to have to come on down to the auditor's office.
Yes, and the main reason for that is we're in a vote-by-mail environment. So if we allowed somebody, or if somebody was able to register 2 days prior online, where there's no way we can get the ballot to them. So the 8-day cutoff allows for us to process those, get them in the mail stream. Anything after that, we need you in person, because at that time you're going to register and we're going to hand you a ballot.
And but literally on August 6th, if I was not a registered voter, I could come down on election day for the primary. We're just kind of focusing on that right now. But essentially, whether or not we're talking August 6th, the primary, or the general election coming up this fall, we could walk into the auditor's office up in Douglas County.
Yes.
Nothing in East Wenatchee?
Well, let me comment on that. Because of the way Douglas County is set up with the courthouse in Waterville, I do plan on election day deploying election staff to our 19th Street building at 140 19th Street so that we will have a presence in East Wenatchee and in the courthouse in Waterville. And, yes, you could come in and register and receive a ballot and vote on election day.
Okay. And then certainly for Chelan County, you'd have to come down to the auditor's office at the courthouse on election day and get signed up.
Exactly. You'll register, and we'll turn around, precinct you, and hand you a ballot for that election.
Okay. All we've heard about since 2016 is voter fraud. How do you guys address voter fraud, not maybe even intentional voter fraud, but discrepancies with a day of filing and their vote? How do you address that, Skip?
Well, that's why we're currently going through the process of instituting, and we've gone live with the new VoteWaz system. Previously, we had 39 counties and 39 distributed voter registration databases that didn't connect themselves in a real good real-time method. The new VoteWaz system is specifically the backbone of this process, so that when you show up in my county on election day to register and cast a vote, once we enter in the system, we'll be able to see, one, if you are registered anywhere in the state, or two, that you are already registered somewhere else, and that you have not cast a ballot. That's important. So if you happen to be in my office, are registered in another county, you're re-registering in my county, you haven't cast a ballot in your first county, we'll give you a new ballot. But we'll be able to see that. We'll be able to see whether you've cast a ballot someplace else. And if you have, then you won't be eligible based upon the process on how we will issue a ballot. You may not get a ballot because you're previously registered, but we'll see that in a real-time environment. We haven't had that opportunity until now with VoteWaz.
Thad, how's it been going dealing with this in its VoteWaz.gov system, say for your experiences so far in Douglas County?
Well, we do have some challenges with the new VoteWaz system. It's a brand-new system and brand-new software. I've been involved in numerous software implementations during my time at Douglas County as a county auditor, and invariably when you have new software, there are always some bugs to work out. So we're experiencing quite a bit of slowness in the system because everybody in the state's trying to get on at the same time, and we've had a few issues that we've been able to work around and work out. So far we're moving ahead. We're going to be able to do the primary election successfully. Our ballots are going out, and we expect to do a good job for this election.
Seattle Times reported they've had probably more problems than you've had. It's a larger area. There's probably more people coming in at any one time, or maybe even trying online to get registered, just sheer volumes of people. Do you anticipate any problems on election day at either of your offices? Because, you may have more people going, oh, today's the day, I didn't take care of this. And so they're going to, in that case, they'd have to come down to your offices, and you might see a little bit more of an influx and more burden on the system that you're trying to log into.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, speaking for how we're approaching it, I anticipate Election Day will be more of servicing the voters that come to our office as opposed to in the past when we are spent the time processing incoming ballots. Pretty much Election Day will become, in our office, people at the counter, getting them registered, going through the process of getting them into VoteWah, verified, and issuing a ballot, where in the past we would have been spent most of the day processing the mail that we'd already received. So what this, the outcome for this, I foresee, is not as many ballots in the initial vote count at 8 o'clock. That will decrease a little bit because resources will be spent servicing the voters in our office. And we can't, we're not sure of the numbers. It could be, crazy.
I see that there is even an element to help young voters. I know that there has been a push for 16 and 17-year-olds to get out the vote ever since, I think, Donald Trump was elected. But there's been a real push to register 16 and 17-year-olds. Not that they can register to vote yet, but to at least get them involved in the process to get ready to go. And there's an element that kind of triggers through this VoteWah system. Explain a little bit about that, Thad.
Well, yes, I think the thinking behind that is once an individual gets their driver's license at 16 years old, they start to interface with the Department of Licensing at that point. And so they would like to have offered them an opportunity to register to vote. So this is called pre-registration, and they can pre-register to vote at the age of 16. Anytime before the age of 17, they can register to vote or pre-register to vote, and they'll be kept in the database and automatically registered when they turn 18. So that's the way that works, and that law went into effect July 1st, so it's available right now for 16, 17-year-olds to pre-register so that they're automatically registered when they come up. Turn 18.
So our presidential primary has got a different date coming up next year, and I know that's, what, 8-9 months off yet, but that's second Tuesday in March. So tell us about that, Skip.
Well, March 10th now, and next year will be the presidential primary, moved up quite a bit. The idea behind that, and I agree with, is that in the past, our primary occurs so late in the cycle that it was the nominee at that time for both parties is pretty much already determined. And so by moving it up earlier, the parties, both political parties, are happy with it or supporting it. And it'll make a difference. It makes the state as a whole more appealing to those primary candidates running for office in the presidential race. To be actually come out and interact with us. In the past, well, geez, we didn't have it until longer in the cycle. Decisions were already made. And for the first time in many years, I can't remember, primaries, both political parties are going to use the outcome of the primary in determining delegates so that it will be a very meaningful primary. And it'll be earlier on. So I think it'll work out really great.
Dad, you like the earlier date too?
Yes, I do. I think it'll make Washington State much more relevant in the process, and I hope that the voters are excited about that opportunity.
So when we come back, I want to get to the auditor's final thoughts. Again, we have Skip Moore from Chelan County, Auditor Thad Duvall from Douglas County, and we'll tell you the dates you need to think about again if you haven't registered to vote. And how you can do that either in person or online, and if you miss any of those cutoff dates, what you'll have to do to make sure you can participate with the August 6th primary right around the corner. 12:48 now on The Agenda.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Again, just in our final moments, 2019 primary election, we're hearing about it. August 6th is coming up real quick. And if you're not yet registered, you'll have until Monday, July 29th. You can register online or by mail if it slips past that date. You'll have an opportunity to go right up until August 6th into your auditor's office and over
until 8 o'clock.
And over in Douglas County, they're even going to open up at the the annex building in East Wenatchee, so you don't have to take the beautiful drive up to Waterville. But if you're up on the plateau, you can stop by there and get signed up even as late as, I guess, August 6th at 8 p.m.?
8 p.m.
You could vote at 7:55 p.m.
That's
on
correct.
August 6th yeah. in your auditor's office. I threw out a stat right at the beginning of the interview with your auditors that I had heard there are somewhere between 2 and maybe 3 million people registered to vote in more than one state. Now, whether or not they vote in more than one state, that's the real problem. And there is a consortium that you mentioned where auditors around the country are looking for this.
Yes, as a matter of fact, there's a project that it's called ERIC, E-R-I-C, and about 27 states have now joined this project, and we share databases back and forth, and we check for duplicate people who are registered in more than one state. And that data is shared back and forth, and we actually did a project for the 2016 election, and we found several hundred voters that had registered and may have voted in both states. And when you drill down to it, I don't have the exact number, but it was between 10 and 20 voters. We found out we'd actually proved they actually did vote in more than one state, and then their names were referred to the prosecutors in each state respectively.
And VoteWA.gov, our new system that allows the same-day voter registration, also allows in real time to check if someone is already registered in another county in Washington State. So that system is helping you track registrations here in the state and, try and prevent duplication.
Well, yeah, it is. And when you expand access, in this case, same-day registration, so that somebody can come in on Election Day and vote, the big concern on our part is, one, are you registered someplace else? And if you're not, it's real simple. You register, you vote. But you may be registered elsewhere, and you may have already returned a ballot someplace else. This system will not only show us that you are registered in another county currently, but whether or not you've returned a ballot for the current election. So we can prevent the individual or the accidental registering in two different counties and casting two ballots. That will be a great safeguard, and it'll help the voters out quite a bit.
That's when Skip comes out of the back office and folds his arm and says, "You've already voted."
We're happy to transfer your registration, but unfortunately, since you've already voted, we won't be able to issue a new ballot.
Well, thanks, Skip Moore, Chelan County Auditor, Thad Duvall, our Douglas County Auditor, for joining us today, explaining a little bit about the system and, again, when you can expect your ballots and, deadlines to make sure that you don't miss out on a chance to vote. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being on the agenda today.